My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Is a Texas bullet train a magic bullet? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. To get between Dallas and Houston, it's an often bogged down Interstate 45. The 240-mile trip can sometimes take 5 hours. Amtrak wants a bullet train to do it in 90 minutes, but that project has been stalled. Amtrak says Dallas-Houston could be running within a decade if there's money. KERA's Pablo Arauz Pena has more.
During the recent Southwestern Rail Conference near Dallas, Andy Byford says he's hoping for a rail revolution.
We, it's not just me, we want to bring high-speed rail to the U.S.
Byford is a vice president at Amtrak.
It is a system that is safely used in most, just about every other developed country of the world, except for the U.S.
The idea for a Dallas to Houston bullet train has been thrown around for years. But last year, Amtrak took the lead on the project when it announced a partnership with Texas Central. That's the private company that has been developing the project.
I really do think it's viable. I think it is the most compelling city pairing in the U.S.
But high-speed rail is big talk in a state ruled by cars and trucks. And some are skeptical that the bullet train will ever get built. Like David Peter Allen, editor for the trade magazine Railway Age.
I don't think the political will exists in this country to pay for it.
Pay for a project that could cost upwards of $30 billion. Amtrak says it's looking at equity, federal dollars, and private money to fund the project. It'll also have to work with landowners in rural Texas who oppose the project. Some don't want a bullet train in their backyard. Still, support for the project is growing. Last December, the Federal Rail Administration gave it a boost with a $500,000 grant to study the scope of the project. Amit Bose says the FRA is behind it in part because Texas is booming.
We cannot overlook how big of a state that Texas obviously is and how much growth is happening here.
That's why Byford at Amtrak says the time is now to start building for better transportation options.
The alternative is to condemn Americans to ever more crowded interstates, to condemn taxpayers to just paying for ever widening of highways.
And Byford predicts that if Amtrak can pull off building the Texas line, it'll kickstart even more rail projects across the country. In Dallas, I'm Pablo Arauz Pena for Marketplace.
In Baltimore, a different infrastructure challenge. After that out-of-control cargo ship veered into the Francis Scott Key Bridge March 26th, destroying the bridge and cutting off a section of that city's beltway, this week, the body was recovered of Jose Minor Lopez, the last of the six highway workers who died. Crews are trying to reopen the main channel to the harbor by the end of this month, and there's news explosives will be used to free the stuck cargo ship. I was talking to Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg yesterday about consumer protections, but I also asked about funding for this. Secretary Buttigieg, your department came up with $60 million in emergency highway funds to deal with the bridge collapse in Baltimore, but it could cost not millions, but billions. Who's going to pay to right that mess?
Well, President Biden committed that the federal government will be there to cover the cost that people of Maryland and Baltimore need to get a new bridge and to get back to normal. But to be clear, there have been many cases where our emergency relief account has been replenished with recoveries from insurance or litigation. Obviously, if any private party is held liable, that could come back to the taxpayer. It's just that we can't wait for that because the people of Baltimore need help getting back to normal now. We expect to have that port back up and running and all of those port workers back on the job by the end of May. But simultaneously, there's the bigger, longer, and more expensive project of getting a new bridge. That's already underway too, and we're going to be there, as the president promised, every step of the way.
And you okay with the pace of coming up with the funding? I think you've mentioned before when the I-35 bridge fell down in Minnesota those years ago, Congress moved pretty quickly. I think it was days.
That's right. Congress acted within about a week in the Minnesota case. We'd love to see quick action here, too, to top up our emergency relief funds. But we are nowhere near running out of cash in that account to take care of the immediate needs.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
The focus of my conversation with Secretary Buttigieg was a hearing yesterday into complaints that airlines, hotels, and credit card companies can be mysterious about the rules governing frequent flyer miles and loyalty points. We also put that on the air today, and it's now streaming from marketplace.org.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
The winds of the market could shift suddenly mid-month next Wednesday the 15th with the publication of the Consumer Price Index derived from the cost of buying things in April. If there's more inflation than expected, talk of an interest rate cut in the fall might evaporate. Inflation was up 3.5% in the year through April. Also next Wednesday, retail sales in America. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial.
Believe it or not, because consumer confidence has gotten worse, business confidence has gotten worse, and yet, so far, the real economic data, it's super early, but is tracking at 4.2%, according to the Atlanta Fed. That retail sales report will be the first major component that might change that path. I suspect by the time the rest of the quarter is in, it won't be quite that strong.
Some hot news about sriracha. After Huey Fong Foods, the California-based maker of the hot sauce that improves many a failed cooking experiment, said it's halting production of red until September. The company is saying its crop of red jalapenos came into green. Apparently it's an issue of the color. I will say the other colors, while not the same, still work in a pinch. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.